Kaya, Wanju, hello, welcome to another episode of The Curb. I'm Andrew Pierce, and this is a podcast where I bring you in-depth interviews with filmmakers, creatives, and creators of culture. This podcast is recorded in Bulu, Western Australia, sovereignty never ceded, except when it's not. Once again, we're coming from Nam, Melbourne, Victoria, with Nadine Whitney doing an interview here. And I'm going to read the spiel which Nadine's kindly sent over about the wonderful actor who she's interviewing here. And ahead of this wonderful chat with him, when Nadine Whitney interviewed actor Frank Mosley, she started their chat with a game akin to 6 Degrees of Kevin Bacon. Want to know how to get to Meryl Streep from Frank? Easier than even probably Frank thinks. Frank starred in Jeff Marslett's Quantum Cowboys, which also featured Alex Cox. And Alex Cox, of course, directed Ed Harris in Walker. And Ed also features in Stephen Daldry's adaptation of The Hours, which, naturally, features Meryl Streep. Frank is usually a supporting or character actor, but when given the chance to lead a film such as Cameron Bruce Nelson's award-winning 2015 film Some Beasts, there is a particular grace to his performance which proves he can and should carry a film. Originally from Texas and now living in Los Angeles, the City of Angels, Frank has been in 3 films with Lily Gladstone, Chain for Life, directed by Aaron Schimberg, and is an accomplished director in his own right. Frank has the incredible ability to create and sustain community with his artistic practice. He's open to the absurd, the heartfelt, the just plain weird, and the full dramatic spectrum. Nadine spoke to Frank about working with Albert Burney and Peter Oz. He also featured in O's excellent Love and Work about their 8-bit fantasy Obex, in which he plays a television named Victor. Take a listen to Frank and his generous and warm presence, even before he'd finished his first coffee, and then go find his work. And also want to encourage you to check out the writing of Nadine, which you can do over on thecurb.com.au, where you can see the reviews or read the reviews that she's done for Obex and Quantum Cowboys as well. Thecurb.com.au is where you can find that. Or give us a follow on Instagram, Facebook, and Blue Sky, thecurb.au, where you can check those out there as well. We're also a completely independent and ad-free website that lives on support of listeners and readers just like yourself. So if you can, visit patreon.com/thecurbau to support our work from as little as $1 a month and keep us completely independent. We'd also love it if you could rate and review us on the podcast pro of your choice. Every review helps amplify the interviews and stories from filmmakers to a wider audience. New interviews drop on Thursdays with bonus chats appearing on Tuesdays. Right, it's enough from me. Let's kick on with the interview between Nadine and Frank Mosley.
Mm-hmm. I mean, you're so smart.
Thank you.
You're way smarter than me.
Oh, that's a fact.
And I think if you write a book about Humboldt.
Ooh, I'll read that.
I mean, I got some stories. I know you do. You've seen some shit.
No,
and you do too.
Last
Saturday night was a fucking story. Oh, Jesus. And then once that thing sells, the TV rights, like that thing will like blow the fuck up.
Dude, we could make some money doing that shit. Think about that. No, really. Think about that. We start getting famous. We start. Think of all the shit that's already been done. We can use that shit.
You could invent the light bulb.
Oh, yeah. Now you're talking. Yeah. Man, we got light bulbs. We got Led Zeppelin. What else we got? We should start a list. You got a pen in here?
My name's Nadine Whitney, and I am very lucky to have actor extraordinaire Frank Mosley with me today. Now, if you think you haven't seen Frank Mosley in something, you're probably wrong. But I'm going to give you an idea of just how connected Frank is within the industry by playing with Frank, 6 Degrees of Frank Mosley. So Frank, first person, mm-hmm. Parker Posey. How do you get to Parker Posey?
How do I get to Parker Posey? Let me try to think. I was in a movie by Brandon Colvin called Sabbatical, mm-hmm. with Robert Longstreet and Thomas J. Ryan. And Thomas J. Ryan worked on Hal Hartley films that Parker Posey was in.
Okay, I've got an even quicker way.
Oh, nice.
Quantum Cowboys, David Arquette, Scream 3.
Scream. Yeah, the Scream. Wait, is it 2 or 3?
Three.
Yeah. She's great in that, too. That's a great one. Nice.
Okay.
Nice.
6 Degrees of Frank Mosley, Matt Damon.
Oh, man, that's a tough one. Matt Damon. To really wrap my head around that one. Matt Damon. And who have I been with that? I'm trying to think of who has been with Matt Damon in.
I
No,
can do
I'm
it
drawing
for
a
you.
blank on. Yeah, go ahead. Yeah, I don't know.
Okay, so again, Quantum Cowboys,
Oh.
Lily Gladstone. Lily Gladstone was starring with Leonardo DiCaprio. Leonardo DiCaprio starred with Matt Damon in.
Wait a minute. Why am I drawing a blank here? You're
In
killing
The
me.
Departed.
Oh, The Departed, right. Sorry, it's early here yet. I'm just having my coffee.
That's okay. I've
Yeah.
got some monster drink to keep me
Oh
awake
yeah. There
because
you
it's quite
go.
late here. So
That's
cheers.
right. Yeah,
So,
cheers.
Frank.
I can't believe I missed The Departed. That's a bummer. I should have got I just recently rewatched that a few weeks ago, so I should have gotten that one.
Yeah, look, I can connect you all over the place. So that's just an idea of the tendrils. Like, you're one step from Matt Damon, or two steps from one step from Matt Damon. And
That's crazy. Wow, that's wild.
yes. So, I'd like to talk to you about a film that has showing in Fantasia and also showed at Sundance and also showed at Sydney Film Festival called Obex by
Yes.
Albert Burney, which I think is lovely and heartfelt and weird. Lovely weird,
Yes.
which is kind of what Albert does, is lovely weird, and Strawberry
Totally. That's
Mansions is lovely weird.
a good way to put it. I love that. Lovely
Yeah,
weird is good.
lovely weird. Yeah. And you play a television called Victor.
That's right. After RCA Victor.
Yes,
Yeah.
and also you play a picture of his dad.
It's funny. You're the only person that's really brought that up. Of anybody who I talk to. Because I don't know if, a lot of people, I mean, they're obviously like, who am I anyway? But it's also such a flash that I think for people who are friends of ours or who know that, oh, Frank's doing the voice of Victor, it was kind of a little subtle Easter egg joke for Albert to shoot that photo of me as his own father. So he photoshopped me in over his dad for those
Twice. It's in
images.
it, you're in
Yeah.
twice, so
And funny thing, we t I took those photos while on my wedding weekend here in the Pacific Northwest, and it was kind of wild because then those are wedding photos that he's looking at. So it was very surreal. He's like, "Hey, by the way, while you're there doing your wedding thing, can you just snap off some photos that kind of match the lighting of these original photos?" And I was like, "Yeah, let's try it," and it worked. So.
So would you say that that kind of inventiveness and do it now idea is kind of how Albert and Burney and Pete O, who wrote this with him and as you have worked with before in Love and Work, is that kind of just how their process works? Like, oh, we've got this and we can do this, or is it a lot more refined?
I would say it's a controlled chaos and it's a refined impulsiveness. And I mean that in the sense of that Pete is very for all the talk that's been done in the press about Pete making his films in this kind of fast, this expedited way, like on the day. Which is true. We don't get our scripts until or our lines until that morning. And sometimes scenes are being written. But the difference is that he's already been thinking about the themes and this world for a long time before we even arrive on set. And in a very similar way, Albert, as you can see, like in all his films, like he creates very specific worlds. And so the difference is like Obex had a very carefully constructed script. That was written way ahead of time that I was able to prep and get ready. But on set, there's an excited let's do it mentality that you're kind of referring to. And there's kind of a youthful kind of eagerness that's really infectious with everybody on both of these two filmmakers' films. But with Albert specifically, I told him at one point we were standing out in the cold and it was 3 o'clock in the morning, and I'm spraying Albert with fake blood. And we're just li giggling like kids. And I was like, I feel like I'm a kid making movies in my backyard again. Like, this is great, you know? And so there is that kind of mentality there. But I think Albert's worlds in particular are very thought out and planned ahead of time.
Yeah, well, just I guess I'm going to use the wanky French term, the mise en scène of the film, the way that it's set up is, you know, very, very thought out. So people will maybe have read my review, maybe not. So we're going to assume that they haven't. I'm going to give a quick rundown about what the film is about. The film is about set in 1987, so the web is available, but not many people know how to use it unless they've got like massive computers. Connor is a bit of a shut-in. He's living in Baltimore. He is an ASCII artist extraordinaire, and outside his house is a cicada plague. And he's there with his very good dog, Sandy. And his only friend is someone he speaks through a door with, is Mary, who gets his food. And he orders a role-playing game called Obex, where he puts himself within the game. And he does this kind of almost melancholy like introduction as to who he is and what he likes. Game doesn't seem to be doing anything, and then one day Sandy goes missing, and it's a new world of adventure. And
the great summary.
It's black and white, filmed on a variety of things, I would think, by the look of it, like different stocks and video and all sorts of things. And was that in his house or a friend's house?
Yeah, so he, as far as I know, most of Albert's films he shoots in Maryland, outside of Baltimore, in Maryland, where he's from, where he's living. And, you know, he shot a lot of the same scenes in Obex, where he shot a lot of Strawberry Mansion and some of his other films, like the same field in front of his parents' home. So a lot of personal locations were involved for Albert with where it was shot. And if you look at specifically Strawberry Mansion and Obex, you'll see a lot of overlap of that's the same spot. He just reused it or flipped the angle and shot it the other way. Because it's kind of like his studio. It's kind of like his playground where he grew up. Is like this beautiful property, and so it's really a playground for making projects.
And you had a specifically difficult role in this. You were his hype guy, his Connor's hype guy as he's going through the real world. I guess it's not even the real world, but a live action version of the game, and you're quite literally playing a television, which means you have a television on your head. How heavy was that?
It was moderately heavy. It was not light because it was a real television. And they did this really brilliant thing, which is that they wanted to record the sound, my dialogue, on set in action, because it would have been very easy with a role like this to just have me or somebody play and then just do ADR later. But they said, no, we want to record you in the moment with the mask on, with this giant TV. So they carved it out, and for extra padding, they put some foam on the inside just so, you know, the metal wouldn't give me tetanus or anything like that. And then they put a mic on the inside that would capture all my audio. So there's very little dialogue in the finished film that's actually ADR. I'd say the bulk of it was done, you know, in the moment, in the performance. And that's kind of exciting that you're able to capture something like that. The tricky part with that TV was that I have very narrow shoulders. And so the TV has to kind of balance on my shoulders. And it's kind of works as like a bobblehead feeling so that it can spin when you don't even want it to. So if I turn, it can kind of spin around a little bit more over past where I'd want it to stop. And one of the things I've told a few people about that really cracks me up, but, you know, learning to act in that thing was a interesting challenge, because, you know, you're having to use your voice and your body to really express who Victor is. But then there were times where, you're doing the scene and I want to turn my head just like this, just a little bit, but that doesn't read with
No,
the
it
TV
doesn't. And
head.
also, you've got
So
reflection issues as well. If you turn the wrong way, you're going to get like
that's
reflection
true.
issues.
That's true. And so I had to learn how to heighten my acting of physicality to make sure that it would read. So like I had to learn that, if I do this, it won't work. So I have to, if I want to do a subtle turn, I have to do this to make it slowly turn. So it was a very interesting incremental process of what reads, and plus once it got dark and we were shooting at night, Nadine, I couldn't see anything out of that
And
TV. And it was,
you're in the woods, so
yeah. So there were many times where I bit it a few times. I really ate dirt. And, Albert was very helpful with helping me along and, guiding me, putting me in my spot where I should stand. But yeah, it was very hard to see at a thing, especially at night.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Is Albert's demon costume in Obex the same demon costume that's in Strawberry Mansions, just kind of bigged, made bigger?
I believe that it is, or there is some overlap. I can't speak to that entirely, but I do know that there is some major overlap, just as there is some overlap between the his short film Grunfeld. If you saw that, he did a short that came out a
No.
few, I think it
Was
was,
that the one with the knight?
right. And so there's
Yeah.
kind of an overlap in style and tone, and with the knight to kind of
Yep.
connect to the knight and some of the elements in Obex. So he has a whole world, I feel like, that his films all put together, they create an even bigger world, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, I think that it's an amazing fantasy world where people learn to live inside the real world,
Yeah.
if that makes sense. So, Connor's major life lesson through all of this is that outside it might be scary and sad,
Yeah.
but you have to kind of face it
Yes.
to be someone. And I mean, his setup's pretty cool at home. I mean, I must say I was very impressed, with,
It's a cool space,
yeah, cool space,
Yeah.
three televisions on top of each other, very Videodrome.
Yeah, very much.
And his nighttime music being Gary Numan's Cars.
It's pretty great.
Yeah,
It's pretty great. I like his style, Connor's got
I
something
definitely
going
have to like give that 10 out of 10 for, as the
on.
kids would say,
Yeah,
vibes.
absolutely. There's a great vibes in there. And I love the production design of the space. I just think it's really, they did a beautiful job. And when the thing comes out of the TV, I was reminded of Post Tenebra's Lux. Like, it had a very similar energy when that creature appears, that demon in the house in that film. And I later told Pete and Albert, I was like, have you seen the Regattas film? I said, it's very similar. And I don't know if it was an influence or not, but the vi I think there's always a hushed moment in the audience, maybe even a few gasps when that thing comes out of the TV, starts wandering the house, and they have the light moving over the space. I just think it's a beautiful,
It
scary
also has a bit of
sequence.
a ring feel to it, or any
Absolutely.
of the rings. Choose a ring.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I agree. It's really, really well done.
Look,
Yeah.
it did extremely well at Sundance
Oh,
and
yeah.
sold out in Sydney, and I hope Fantasia crowds ate it up. And it's going to be doing a bit of a tour, I'm guessing, around the festivals before it hits any kind of full release. Is that what you know?
Yeah, I think it has a few more festivals this fall, and then Oscilloscope picked this up for distribution
I
in the US,
know,
which
I
is
know.
great. So that's exciting. So I think we're going to have a theatrical sometime after the fall. I don't know when, but that'll be exciting to play some cities on the big screen.
Yeah, well, I mean,
Yeah.
I'm like everybody listening in America, if you're listening in America, I'm sorry about America, but also go and see the film
Yes,
because it's
thank you.
awesome.
Thank you. Yeah, it's a
So
special one.
So, Frank, what are your other projects that you're kind of involved with at the moment?
Well, speaking of Fantasia, I am attached to be the lead actor, and I'm one of the producers on a film called Fur, that just got into the Frontiers Market Lab as part of Fantasia this year.
Fantastic.
And thanks. And it's by so the team is wonderful, but it's it includes Brad Abrahams, who's this great filmmaker. He does a lot of documentary about cryptozoology, and his producing partner Matt Ralston. And they came to me about wanting to make a film about the supposed first abduction of someone by Bigfoot in the 1920s in Canada, of a logger who was out panning for gold, and he's recently divorced, and he gets taken by this Bigfoot, taken back to the lair. And in the lair, there's a whole Bigfoot family that he starts to live with. And I don't want to give too much away, but they pitched this to me, and I was just so taken by, I've been always fascinated by cryptozoology and Bigfoot lore and all these things. And so they said, "We want you to play the lead. Would you want to help us also produce this?" I was like, "Great." And then they were looking for a female writer as well. And so my partner, creative partner and wife, Jocelyn Jensen, came on and wrote the actual latest drafts of the script. And
Fantastic.
yeah, and it's been great. And the script's great. And the working with Brad and Matt is great. And so we're now just trying to get financing, and we were one of the projects selected for the Fantasia market. And I heard the pitch went off great. I wish I could have been there, but I contributed via video. I had a video message on there, but we'll see what happens. If we can get financing, that would be wonderful to be shooting that sometime next year, next summer,
Yeah,
next fall,
and you
you
actually
know.
have spent quite a bit of time outdoors for your
Yeah,
roles.
I have. Yeah.
Yeah.
I tend to go through every decade. I seem to play somebody who's out in the woods or something, you know. I don't know how that happens, but
I don't know, but I mean, fantastic for you. Getting back to nature. Have you seen Sasquatch Sunset?
I have. I
Yes.
really enjoyed it a lot.
I dug the music for that so much.
Me too. I the
Yeah.
music, the vibes,
The
you know.
vibes. I own the furry Blu-ray box set, so it's actually
Oh,
covered
that's
in
great.
fur.
That's great. That's so cool. I didn't know they did that. I thought that movie was very special, but if I'm honest, I'm biased because I know the Zellner brothers from when I lived in Austin, because they're part of the
Okay,
Austin
yeah, and
indie film
they did
community.
Damsel as well,
They
which is
did
fantastic.
Damsel. If you saw Kid Thing is really great. I mean, it's just there's so many. Every movie, I'm biased because anytime they make a movie, I'm in. I'm just it's a gift, and they have such a unique voice, you know. So I never get tired of seeing their stuff, you know. And I thought this one was no exception, you know.
Oh, it was great.
Yeah.
Again, and the little song at the end by Riley
Oh yeah, that's
is
great.
great. Yeah,
Really smart.
but
Yeah.
we're talking about the Zellman Brothers when we should be talking about
No, it's
you.
all right. Yeah.
So tell me some of what you learned when you're on set with Albert, and how his process works and how he brought you into that as a collaborator.
Yeah, I mean, it was really interesting for me because, you know, I think they shot this the whole movie over about I want to say it was 2 to 3 weeks, I think. And I only shot for all my stuff was shot in like 4 or 5 days. And so they really had to compact it together. And a lot of that was due to because I had just gotten married. And so I had just gotten married, and then I came to shoot 4 days on this, and then I had to go to another film. So it just worked out that it was like wedged in the middle that I could do this, and I was gonna be bummed if I couldn't do it because it's, you know, it's Albert Burney. I'm a fan of his. He's a hell of a nice guy. So is Pete. And so like to be able to be brought on, I think he already had some ideas of what he wanted me to do. Like, he already knew that he wanted me to have a Texas accent. He already knew a lot of these things that I had to kind of just come in and play and kind of give him and see if it worked up to his standards. So, like, working with him and Pete on this, it was very easy in the sense of that it felt like, and I said this before, but being kids in a backyard and making films together. And I think what I learned was Albert and Pete both have this, possess this quality, but I would say Albert specifically, especially with his kind of fantasy-based stories, but he inspires, me to just get up and start creating and to not sit back. There's a real kind of, and not impulsive could have a negative connotation. It's not quite right, but it's a very like excitable energy to like get up and just make something with your friends. And I think, a lot of people say that in interviews and things about different filmmakers they work with, but I truly believe that that is the phrase to use with people like Pete and Albert, because you spend your time laughing a lot and just coming up with crazy ideas, and any ideas on the table. If you have an idea, they're open to it. And so it was a really good reminder for me of just about, making something lo-fi that can be high concept and have really high stakes, but be made in a very organic, sometimes improvisatory way. Because if you have good people with you, with your good friends, then you really feel like you can do anything. So that was a good reminder for me for all that.
That's fantastic. And look, I loved the film, and I've written half of my review. I'm very tired. People of the world, I'm very tired, and I've got like 2 weeks of like 4 films a day. So, pray for me or whatever. But before we go, I'm going to submit you to a couple more rounds of Six Degrees
Oh,
of Frank
wow.
Leslie, and these are pretty like easy. If I can think them up, you should be able to. Robert
I'll do my
Pattinson,
best.
Robert Pattinson.
Man, it's too early. Robert Pattinson is, let's see. So Robert Pattinson, I could say, was in, this is getting kind of tricky. Because this news hasn't really come out yet. But so Robert Pattinson worked with Kristen Stewart. Kristen Stewart's DP, Corey C. Waters, recently shot a short film with me by Jared Hogan called Dog Bite, that was made a couple years ago. And we're now actually gearing up to work on another project together, me and this DP. The DP shot her film,
Chronology
Chronology
of
of
Water.
Water.
Yes, which I'm
So,
seeing next week.
which I
Next.
can't wait to see.
Yeah.
But yeah, he's a buddy of ours, and I worked with him on the short, and he's shooting this feature by the same director I'll be doing here later this fall. So he's a
Well, there you go.
talented dude.
I can do it so much easier.
All right, what
So
do you got?
much.
What do
Again,
you got?
Quantum Cowboys.
It's
Kiowa.
cool. Yep.
Twilight. Films.
That's right. That's right. I don't know why I forget that he's in the Twilight films, because I mean, he's my buddy and I know that he was in those, but I just don't know why I forget him. So every time I talk to Kaiwa, I remind myself that he was in those. But yeah, Quantum Cowboys is really a great starting point for
Yeah,
anything
because
for this game. You can
you can go to like Gary Oldman,
totally, it's a cast of 50 people, so surely you have an outlet,
And I
somewhere,
mean, because with Alex Cox, you've got everyone he's ever been in a film with,
That's
and then
true.
you've got everyone they've ever been in a film with.
That's true.
So,
It's a small world. It's crazy. Everybody, you can throw a rock and hit somebody,
it is,
so
and it's,
connected.
but it's wonderful because everybody that I've come across that you've worked with, closely, it has just been so nice and so generous with their time, and I think that that's just, and generous with their ideas and passionate, and I think that's just really beautiful. So,
That's nice to hear. Yeah.
You know, we hear a lot of cynical Hollywood stories and, you know, certainly studios doing cynical things. So it's nice to know that the creatives are still creating regardless of the things that are going on.
Yes, I think it gives people hope. And again, I think if you work with good people, I think, you know, that's the true engine that can drive some of the best shoots, you know, because I think it opens up the forum for a lot of ideas and, you know, can be inspiring creatively. So I've been very lucky. I would say that almost every film I've ever been a part of has been made with really great people. So I hope that I can keep up.
Oh, you certainly can. And, you know, you're connected to Jean-Luc Godard, too, through Quantum
Anna
Cowboys.
Karenina.
I mean,
rest in peace. Yeah.
Yeah, rest in peace, Anna. But, you know, come on, you're everywhere. So for people who don't know Frank, you do now. What would you like to say? What would you like to say about Obex to the people listening?
I would say that Obex is a throwback film that I think people of a specific age will find really appealing. But I also think its themes are beyond age, you know, its themes of isolation and, you know, agoraphobia and loneliness. I think there's like a lot of things that are in there that people can relate to at any time. And it really is, as you said so eloquently at the top, it's really a film about, it's a metaphor for learning to step outside yourself and what you think your boundaries are, relearning what those boundaries are, and finding who you are, and, you know, finding some courage to look deeper within yourself. And, you know, whether that's in a video game, whether that's in real life, I think people can relate to that. I think Albert's just such a talented guy, and I'm just so happy to have been a part of this movie with such a fun role. You know,
a fun role and a big heart. I mean,
and a big heart. You know,
Victor's pretty important. I mean, without Victor, he just wouldn't have made it.
That's true. That's true. I you know, and it was a fine line to play. Victor. I was trying to play Victor as simultaneously a guide, a kind of older character, but also someone who is also like a sidekick and a peer, and to kind of vacillate between those two poles a little bit in the performance, you know, to where he's looking after him, but yet he's also kind of right alongside him and needing Victor or needing Connor sometimes as much as Connor needs him.
Yes, well, Connor's pretty handy with the pokey sword things.
That's right. You don't get in the way of Connor and his sword. He'll take you down.
It was absolutely lovely to speak with you, Frank. And I hope people will get to see Obex. It's amazing and, you know, very much, you know, 4.5 to 5 out of 5.
That's a great rating. Can't beat it.
Well, yeah, well, you can't.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this chat with filmmaker Frank Moseley talking about his work and Nadine Whitney. Check out his films, Obex, Quantum Cowboys, all of the works. Chain for Life is a particular one that I really love as well. Stick over onto letterboxd.com to seek them out and find out where you can watch them. You can listen to other interviews and read reviews on thecurb.com.au, and encourage you to share this review or interview with your film-loving friends. We hope they love it as much as you have. I'm Andrew Pierce, and I'll see you on the next one.